great statesman this afternoon.
Well, he's very cheerful.
Really? Where did he find something to be cheerful about?
Well, question time. He did very well.
Indeed. In whose opinion?
Well, everyone's.
They were very impressed with his answer on tapping MP's telephone.
Yes, I heard about that, but regrettably not from you.
Well, I didn't see any point.
Bernard, I coordinate all government security. Why was the question not referred to me first?
Well, it was unforeseen supplementary.
It was a foreseeable unforeseen supplementary.
But it was a very good answer. Much as I respect and value the opinions of this House, I must confess I have no desire to listen to the words of honourable members for any longer than I actually have to. You got quite a good laugh.
From you?
Yes, and from his own party.
The ones hoping to be promoted or the ones afraid of being sacked?
Well, it's just about all of them.
I gather that he denied that he'd authorised the bugging of an MP's telephone.
Oh, yes. Well, he hasn't, has he?
Has he?
He has. Croydon.
It's all here, Bernard, including the transcripts. Shall we?
Well, can't we leave it a bit longer? He doesn't get many moments of unalloyed pleasure.
I suppose he gets all he deserves. Ah, oh, come in, Humphrey.
Right, so I want to talk to you about Prime Minister's question.
Thank you. I accept your congratulations.
Wasn't I
brilliant?
Well, I...
Didn't you think so?
Well, I wasn't there, but...
Wasn't I brilliant, Bernard? Well, I believe your replies this afternoon will not be quickly forgotten. Let me tell you what happened, Humphrey. The first question was about that Home Office cock-up over the shortage of prison officers. My reply was masterly. I said, I refer the Honourable Member to the speech I made in this House on October the 28th.
Did he remember what you'd said?
Well, no, of course not. Neither did I come to that. Still, it shut him up. The next one was about unemployment and whether the Department of Employment fiddled the figures.
You mean periodically restructure the base from which the statistics have been derived without drawing public attention to the fact?
Exactly, fiddle the figures.
Well, of course they do.
I know they do. But I said I'd found no significant evidence of it.
That's because you haven't been looking.
And because we haven't shown you.
I know, well done, Humphrey. Then we went straight on to a googly about the Department of Energy's plans for disposing of nuclear waste. The question was trying to get me to admit that the Cabinet was divided.
Well, it is.
Well, I know that. So I said, my cabinet took a unanimous decision.
That's only because you threatened to dismiss anyone who wouldn't agree.
I certainly made them agree unanimously. By this time, my backbenchers were cheering my every word. Oh, yes. Then we had a question about why, since we'd spent so much money on it, our new anti-missile missile was scrapped as obsolete the day before the first one came off the production line.
And how did you wriggle out of that one?
Wriggled out? That was my masterstroke. My reply, Humphrey, was sheer genius. I simply said our policy had not been as effective as we hoped. Clearly, we had got it wrong.
You admitted that?
Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it? Took the wind out of his sails. Honesty always gives you the advantage of surprise in the House of Commons.
There was actually a supplementary. The Prime Minister was asked when he would request the resignation from the responsible minister.
Too easy. I said I'll ask for his resignation when he makes a mistake that could have been seen at the time and not with the benefit of hindsight. They were on their feet, cheering, stamping, waving their order papers.
I gather that there was a question about the bugging of an MP's telephone.
Oh, yes, I got a terrific laugh with that. I said...
I know, Bernard.
No, I said, much as I respect
yes,
John...
Yes, I know, Bernard told me.
Oh, well, anyway, that was just stupid. I mean, why should we bug Hugh Halifax's telephone? I mean, one of my own administration. Don't know where they got such a daft idea. Sheer paranoia.
Yes, the only thing is...
I mean, why should we be listening to MPs, boring, stupid, ignorant windbags? I do my best not to listen to them. He's only a PPS. I have enough trouble finding out what's going on at the Ministry of Defence. What could he know?
So I gather you denied that Mr. Halifax's phone had been bugged.
Well, obviously. It was the one question today to which I could give a clear, simple, straightforward, honest answer.
Yes. Unfortunately, although the answer was indeed clear, simple and straightforward... There is some difficulty in justifiably assigning to it the fourth of the epithets you applied to the statement. Inasmuch as the precise correlation between the information you communicated and the facts insofar as they can be determined and demonstrated is such as to cause epistemological problems of sufficient magnitude as to lay upon the logical and semantic resources of the English language a heavier burden than they can reasonably be expected to bear.
Epistemological? What are you talking about?
You told a lie.
A lie?
A lie.
What do you mean, a lie?
I mean you... lied. Yes, I know this is a difficult concept to get across to a politician. yes, you did not tell the truth.
You mean we are bugging you, Halifax's telephone?
We were.
We were? When did we stop?
17 minutes ago.
Well, you can't call that lying.
What would you call the opposite of telling the truth?
Well, I mean, there was no intent. I didn't mean to deceive them. I'd never knowingly mislead the house.
Nonetheless, you have done so.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't know he was being bugged.
Prime Minister, you are deemed to have known. You are ultimately responsible.
Why wasn't I told?
The Home Secretary might not have felt the need to inform you.
Why?
Perhaps he didn't know either. Or perhaps he'd been advised that you did not need to know.
Well, I did need to know.
Apparently, the fact that you needed to know was not known at the time that the now known need to know was known. And therefore, those that needed to advise and inform the Home Secretary perhaps felt that the information that he needed as to whether to inform the highest authority of the known information was not yet known. And therefore, there was no authority for the authority to be informed because the need to know was not at that time known or needed.
What?
We did not know that you would deny it in the House.
Well, obviously I would if I didn't know and I asked.
We did not know that you would be asked when you didn't know.
I was bound to be asked when I didn't know if I didn't know.
What? It was thought that it was better not to inform you. You see, Hugh Halifax is one of your government team, and as such, it was thought that it was better not to create distrust. We only tell you when you should be aware.
When's that?
You should now be aware because you have just denied it.
Well, it would have been rather more helpful if I had been aware before I denied it.
On the contrary, Prime Minister, if you had been aware before you denied it, you wouldn't have denied it.
But I needed to know.
We do not always tell you about bugging when you need to know.
You see, at times, Prime Minister, we need you not to know.
Why did you decide that I didn't need to know?
I didn't.
Well, who did?
Nobody. It was just that nobody decided to tell you.
Well, it's the same thing.
On the contrary, Prime Minister, to decide to conceal information from you is a heavy burden for any official to shoulder, but to decide not to reveal information to you is routine procedure.
Humphrey, I need to know everything.
Everything?
Everything.
Very well. Stationery deliveries this week to the capital. 4 dozen packets of size 2 pages.
I mean important things.
Who should decide what is important?
Humphrey, how can you possibly defend this cock-up?
Well, as you said in the House, we got it wrong.
You got it wrong?
I, Prime Minister, I am merely a humble servant, a lowly official. The Home Secretary made the decision.
Can you think of any reason why I shouldn't ask him to resign?
With respect, Prime Minister, you should only ask him to resign when he has made a mistake which could have been seen at the time and not with the benefit of hindsight. But you see, the trouble today has arisen because of your own error of judgment in making this denial.
What?
You should not have denied something about which you did not know.
But that was your fault. You've just admitted keeping secrets from the Prime Minister.
Not at all, Prime Minister. The system works perfectly well as long as the Prime Minister tells the civil service everything that he's going to say before he says it. But if, precipitately, he says something without first clearing it with his officials, he has only himself to blame. You must not say anything in public without first clearing it with... Respect, Prime Minister, you must learn discretion.
I didn't know there was anything to be discreet about.
In government, there's always something to be discreet about.
Well, anyway, why are we bugging Hugh Halifax? Is he talking to the Russians?
No, the French, actually. That's much more serious.
Why?
Well, the Russians already know what we're doing.
But the French are our trusted allies. Whatever you think of them, and who doesn't?
No, Prime Minister. Actually, the French are our mistrusted allies. That is why talking directly to the French is regarded as prima facie an act of treason by the Foreign Office. Who authorized it?
I don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know who authorized it. Who authorized it?
Is there an echo?
Humphrey, who authorized this bugging?
The Foreign Office. I've just said. Anyway, the less said, the better. Wouldn't you agree, Prime Minister?
About what?
About everything. Obviously, one cannot refuse to appear before a committee of the House.
Well, no, sir.
And obviously, one shall have to tell them everything.
Everything they can find out from other sources.
Precisely. But they are likely to ask me if the Prime Minister has ever authorized the bugging of an MP's telephone.
Oh.
So, how should a loyal public servant reply?
Well, you could say it was a question for the Prime Minister, or the Foreign Secretary, or the Home Office,
or that it was a security matter not at liberty to confirm or deny.
If I dodged the question, Bernard, do you know what the next question will be? Why will I not give the same clear denial that the PM gave the House yesterday?
Ah.
And what should I say then, Bernard?
Well, you could say the Prime Minister knows more about it than you did.
Then they'd know I was lying.
So, what will you do?
I don't know, Bernard. I just thought that you should be aware of the dilemma. Would you like a glass of sherry, Bernard?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Good.
Sweet.
There's only dry. Incidentally, Bernard, the BBC rang this morning.
The BBC know about it?
No, of course not, Bernard. They want to interview me for a documentary they're making on Radio 3 about the structure of the government.
Gosh. Well, you won't do it, will you?
Why not?
Well, they may want you to say things.
That is quite normal on radio.
No, I mean interesting things. Controversy.
On the other hand, Bernard, one has a duty to put the record straight.
You mean you want to do it?
Well, not for oneself, of course. No inclination for petty vanity, you know, being a celebrity, but one can be too self-effacing.
I thought we were supposed to be faceless.
They don't show your face on radio. Anyway, they've said if I don't do it, Arnold has said he would.
Perhaps that would be better.
Arnold, for myself, I would rather not do it. But I think one's sense of duty compels one to see that Arnold is not held up as an example of a top civil servant.
Well, you'll need clearance from the Prime Minister.
Yes.
But that won't be a problem.
How do you know?
Well, it's on Radio 3. Nobody will be listening.
Prime Minister.
Chris.
The cabinet agenda.
Is it today you did your interview?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes.
Any problems?
Oh, no. I have some experience in dealing with difficult questions.
Ah. Because, you know, if you're evasive or confusing on the radio, they just edit you out. You've really got to say something.
Say something?
Something simple and interesting.
Simple and interesting? Well, perhaps you could advise me, Prime Minister. Particularly if the questions are aggressive.
Oh, the more aggressive, the better. That puts listeners on your side.
Nonetheless, I may have to answer them.
Well, why? You've never answered my questions.
No, that's different, Prime Minister. Ludovic Kennedy might ask me some perceptive questions. His researchers mentioned that lots of people are interested to know why so much power is centralized in my hands.
Lots of people? Hardly anybody's ever heard of you, Humphrey.
Perhaps they meant lots of Radio 3 listeners.
That's a contradiction in terms. Still, if he does say that lots of people want to know the answer to that question, you say, name six. That'll fix him. He'll never be able to remember more than two.
Oh, excellent, Prime Minister. Any more tricks?
Tricks, Humphrey? This is technique. Attack one word in the sentence, like, frequently. Mm-hmm. Frequently? What do you mean, frequently? Or attack the interviewer. Say, you clearly have never read the white paper itself, have you? Or else ask your own question, like, that was a very interesting question. Now let me ask you a question.
Oh, thank you, Prime Minister. Incidentally, that reminds me, I have shortly to appear before the committee to answer questions about the alleged bugging of an MP's telephone.
Yes. Yes, Bernard, tell me. Well, you'll just have to confirm what I said in the House.
But that would be lying.
Well, nobody'd know.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Humphrey, you must. Otherwise, it'll look as though I was lying. Humphrey, you have a loyalty.
To the truth. I'm sorry, Prime Minister. I cannot become involved in some shabby cover-up. So whereas there must inevitably be some element of shared responsibility for the governance of Britain, as between the legislators on the one hand and the administration on the other, the precise allocation of cause to consequence or agency to eventuality in any particular instance
is invariably so complex as to be ultimately invalid, if not irresponsible.
Yes, I see, but could you be a little bit more precise? I mean, how far is the civil service to blame for the present level of unemployment?
Yes, of course, unemployment is a single name applied by the media to what is, in effect, a wide range of socio-economic phenomena whose most politically visible manifestation happens to be...
Yes, could you be a little bit more precise?
I mean, so sorry, Mr. Kennedy. You've asked me the question. Do allow me to answer it. Happens to be a current frequency of weekly registrations on the National Unemployment Register, which is deemed to be above what has historically been held to be an acceptable level. Quite even separating out the component causes, let alone allocating responsibility for them, is a task of such analytical delicacy as not to be susceptible of compression within the narrow confines of a popular radio program.
Murphy Appleby, thank you very much.
Oh. If that was a popular program, what would an unpopular program be like?
Thank you very much, Sir Humphrey. Oh.
Absolutely spent. My pleasure. Thank you. Was I all right?
Well, couldn't you have said a bit more, especially about unemployment?
Such as?
Well, the truth. Why do you laugh?
Oh, my dear Ludo, nobody tells the truth about unemployment.
Oh, why not?
Well, because everybody knows you could halve it in a few weeks.
But how?
Cut off all social security to any claimant who refuses two job offers. There's genuine unemployment in the north, but the south of England is awash with layabouts. Many of them graduates, living off the dole and housing benefit. Plus, quite a lot of cash they pick up without telling anybody.
You mean moonlighting?
Well, sunlighting, really. Most employers will tell you they're short-staffed. But offer the unemployed a street-sweeping job or a dishwashing job, they'd be off the register before you could say parasite. Frankly, this country can have as much unemployment as it's prepared to pay for in Social Security, and no politicians have got the guts to do anything about it.
Oh, I do wish you'd said that.
I'm sure you do. Oh, come along, Bernard, come on.
What's this for?
The BBC have just sent me this tape. Apparently it's part of my interview. They say it's particularly interesting.
Your interview?
You sound surprised that I should have said something interesting, Bernard.
Oh, no, Sir Humphrey. It's just that I thought you intended to say nothing, as always. I mean...
Switch it on, Bernard. You may learn something. My dear Ludo, nobody tells the truth about unemployment.
Oh? Why not?
Because everyone knows you could halve it in a few months. All social security to all claimants who refuse two job offers. And no politicians have got the guts to do anything about it.
Sir Humphrey, that wasn't you, was it?
Yes, Bernard.
But how could you say such things? Is there any more? Yes, Bernard. As damaging as what we've just heard?
More damaging. I believe I referred to parasites.
How could you be so indiscreet?
The interview was over. We were just chatting harmlessly.
Harmless?
It was off the record.
It was on the tape.
Oh, my God, I've just realized. Blackmail.
Blackmail?
Read that.
Here is a copy of your off-the-record part of the radio interview. We found it very interesting. We will contact you shortly.
What do they want of me, Bernard?
The BBC? License fee up 50%?
Maybe it's a private blackmail by the producer.
Well, maybe.
Doesn't he know I'm a poor man?
Maybe he hasn't read you live in abject poverty on 81,000 a year.
Bernard, what am I going to do?
Well, keep your mouth shut in future.
And so must you, Bernard. I don't want you to breathe a word about this to anyone. Anyone, you
hear? My duty to the...
Bernard, I don't... Bernard, what am I going to do?
Well, perhaps you should put out a press statement expressing sympathy for the unemployed. Well, you may be joining them any moment.
Yes, Bernard.
Excuse me, Prime Minister, are you busy?
In fact, I am. I'm expecting Humphrey any minute. I've got to decide what to tell the Cabinet about this bugging business. Do I tell them the truth, or do I tell them what I told the House?
Prime Minister, if I may venture to suggest, perhaps you should behave to the Cabinet, as you would expect the Cabinet to behave to you.
Yes, you're quite right. I'll tell them what I told the House. Something else, Bernard?
Yes, there is something else that you need to know.
Need to know?
Yes, it's about Sir Humphrey's broadcast.
Boring?
Initially, yes, and then it livened up immensely as he became more and more indiscreet.
Indiscreet?
Well, he thought the broadcast was over. He was just chatting unofficially, but the tape was still running.
He fell for that old dodge.
Yes.
We should always treat every microphone as though it were a live microphone. Doesn't he know that?
Well, I don't think he's done a lot of broadcasting.
Oh, dear. What did he say?
Something about being able to halve unemployment tomorrow, but the government hasn't got the guts.
What?
He didn't know it was being recorded.
And the BBC has the original? You know what this means, don't you? It means all over the papers tomorrow morning. You must do something, Bernard.
Well, actually, Prime Minister, I've already done it. I've just had lunch with the producer. He and I were at Oxford together. He never had any intention of releasing the tape, so I got him to give me the indiscreet bit from the master tape.
This is the original? Does Humphrey know you've got it?
Shall I tell him?
Why?
I think he'd like to know.
I'm sure he would. But does he need to know?
Ah, you mean somebody needs to know, but now that you know, Sir Humphrey doesn't need to know. But you need to know Sir Humphrey doesn't know, but he doesn't need to know you know, or that you know he doesn't need to know.
Thank you, Bernard. I couldn't have put it less clearly myself.
Would you like to hear the tape?
Can you play this?
Oh, no, not that. No, I've got him to give me a copy.
Oh, no, hold on a minute. I think this deserves a wider audience. I think Humphrey ought to hear this.
Yes. Oh. It is so.
What a happy coincidence. Ask him to join us, would you, Bernard?
Will you hold on a moment? Prime Minister, I did tell you all this in confidence.
Of course, Bernard, and I respect your confidence. This is serious, you know, Bernard.
Oh, yes, Prime Minister. Sir Humphrey.
Oh, Humphrey, come in, come in, come in. How did your broadcast go?
Oh, very well.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing in particular. I think I pointed out some of the difficulties in allocating responsibilities as between... politicians and civil servants.
But you were discreet.
Why do you ask?
Where you were, weren't you?
Yes.
Yes, you were. Oh, yes, you were.
Yes.
Humphrey.
Well, wouldn't you expect me to be discreet?
Well, yes, of course I would.
There you are, then.
Well, that's all right, then, isn't it?
Why do you ask, Prime Minister?
Well, it's just that the BBC sent me a tape.
Tape? What tape?
Tape of your broadcast. I thought we might listen to it together.
Oh, no.
Why not?
No, it isn't at all interesting.
Not interesting? The Cabinet Secretary talking to the nation.
Well, not very interesting.
You mean you were too discreet? Play it, would you, Bernard?
My dear Ludo, nobody told the truth about unemployment. Oh, why not? Because everyone knows you can halve it in a few weeks.
How? Well,
cut off all social security to all claimants. Reduced jobs. There's genuine unemployment in the North, but...
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Prime Minister. I didn't know. They didn't tell me the interview was over.
The indiscretion. The irresponsibility. Is there any more?
No.
Yes. Very bad.
No.
They'd be off the register before you could say parasite. Frankly, this country can have as much unemployment as it's prepared to pay for its social security. And no politicians have got the guts to do anything about it.
Oh. You said that.
It was Mike Yarwood.
I'm in somewhat of a difficulty as to know what to do about this, Humphrey. I think I need advice.
Advice?
Perhaps I ought to play it to the Cabinet, get their reaction.
Oh, please.
Or the Privy Council.
Oh, please.
Or
Her Majesty?
Oh, God.
Realize what this would mean if it got into the papers. The damage it would do to me, to the government.
Well, I could say I got it wrong. I checked and it isn't true.
But it is true.
But I could say it isn't. Nobody can prove it. It's never been tried.
You would tell an untruth in public?
Yes, for you, Prime Minister. You can issue a clarification.
I think you've already made yourself very clear.
No, Prime Minister, clarification is not to make oneself clear. It is to put oneself in the clear.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Give me the tape, would you, Bella? Now, I've got something to tell you. This is a copy. But this is the original. The master.
You mean...
They were retrieved from the BBC.
By whom?
Intelligence.
So, no one else will ever know.
Well, that rather depends on what I choose to tell them. Of course, I could just hand over the tapes, or I could hold on to them while I consider the security and disciplinary implications. I certainly have no intention of joining some shabby cover-up. Oh, that reminds me. Have you decided yet what you're going to tell the Privileges Committee?
Oh, yes, yes, Prime Minister. I have decided that, in the interests of national security, that the only honourable course is to support your statement in the
And
House.
Say that Hugh Halifax's telephone has never been bugged.
And say I have no evidence that
you... No, Humphrey. And say the government has never authorised debugging of MPs' telephones.
Say the government has never authorised... Supposing they find out the truth.
You'll just have to say that nobody told you. Because you didn't need to know. Agreed? Splendid. Well, that's it then.
May one have one's tapes back.
Tomorrow. After the Committee on Privileges. All right, Humphrey?
Yes, Prime Minister.